The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. With the webcomic Beacon, its newscast, the Tropecast, and Web Fiction World.
You know, you can take a break from stupid things on Tumblr to go look at something useful.
I would feel cheated if one of my friends said, hey, I wanted to share this comic book, and they gave me three pages torn out of the comic book.
Depends upon whether or not the action girl is capable of penetrating the wall of stock footage that the magic girl throws up while she's prepping.
Not only hungover, but I also accidentally ate spoiled cream cheese, so I also had mild food poisoning.
Anti-traditional publishing much?
No, it's nothing to do with that.
You'd have to be buried like hazmat, like an assault mine.
For 3 years, I've shown up once a week and tried to be serious.
Normally, we just sit around talking about boobs, but...
Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction, all at webcastbeacon.com.
News and commentary on the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome one and all to the crack news team of the Webcomic Beacon newscast. I'm your host, Ross Scott. With me today on the show is the wonderful and amazing Alex of Alex's Guide, which can be found at alexsguide.net. And if you aren't reading it, you really should pause the podcast right now and read all of it. Alex, good to have you on the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, Alex, how's your week been? It's been a week.
It's been quite a week. Mm-hmm. Very busy at work and in between little to no sleep. So,
alrighty.
Just kind of been running for like the last 3 weeks, actually.
So, this weekend has been a good break. Bueller play at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what always happens to me. I'm trying to cue it up. I wasn't fast enough. Never mind. Oh, well. Also with us today on the show is the man with the best mustache I've ever seen. He could punch Ron Swanson in the face with his facial hair. The one and only Dern of Dernworks, and specifically Hello with Cheese, which can be found at hellowithcheese.com. Hey, Dern.
Oh, sorry. I was reading comics. You say something about Swanson?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think? Who has a better mustache, you or Ron Swanson?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. I mean, Swanson's mustache is magical, and I'm a firm believer of it. I mean, I've got a good one, but I'm not going to throw Swanson under the bus, no.
If you did, you would destroy the bus.
It's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then now, the bus would grow a mustache.
Also with us today, behind the scenes, recording everything and making sure that anything actually happens around here is Fess of his amazing comic, psiwebcomic.com. Fess, you had a question for Dern, I believe.
Yes, yes. First off, no, I won't go there. But second, is O really that weird at conventions?
I kind of wonder, which weird are we talking about? Because
the ones that he's making comics about, is he really exaggerating, or does he actually do some of this stuff?
It's bizarre. I have not let him kick over a table, and for the most part, he keeps his clothes on.
For the most part, people.
He did have a recent comic on commissionedcomic.com about taking an energy drink at a show, and he is about 100 pounds lighter than me, and he sees me drinking like amp all the time. Like, I usually will drink about 3 cans a day. He has me drinking 30 cans a day and not really showing any effects of it, because I have a severe caffeine addiction, and it really doesn't affect me. It doesn't look like it affects me physically. He takes one can and he gets like halfway through it, and he could not sit in the chair anymore. For the next hour, he's like running up and down the aisles and talking to everybody.
What in the comic did he call the can boner?
Boners. That harkens back to the classic Guillermo del Toro quote, if you gotta do what gives you a boner in the morning. And we've just started referring to Dragon Con as Boner Con because it was that moment in our careers where
later in the show
everything fell together. And we're at this point now where we're just doing what gives us a boner in the morning.
All right.
Well, Alex, that answers my question.
Alex, while we're on the topic, what gives you boners. A boner in the morning, Alex?
I decline to comment.
To be fair, this is not a sexual boner. This is just we're so excited about what we're doing.
This is an excitement boner. I understand.
Pure excitement. Excitement
boner.
It's moments like this when I remember that my mom listens to this show and writes me email.
Hi, Mrs. Nover.
She thinks about every episode. So,
moments like this where I'm glad my mom does not listen to the show.
There you go. All right. Well, every week here on the show, after some banter and talk of boners, we cover all of the news that's shit to print on the topics of online publishing, webcomics, and comics as best we can. These are all collected by our own Eric, whose work can be found at exiern.com. Is it .net or .com?
Actually, he sold that.
.com.
He doesn't have... He sold the Exern.
Yeah, he doesn't work on Exern anymore.
Yeah,
it's now BladeBunny.com.
Okay, BladeBunny.com. Well, no one told me that.
So that's fine. It's I didn't find out until like several weeks later either, so...
Okay, well, it's...
This is what happens when you die and go away for a while.
This is what happens when our researcher doesn't research himself. anyway, so Eric, thanks to you for putting together all of the news articles that we'll be talking about today. If you out there in the audience find anything that you want us to talk about, just send it on over to us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And with that, we will move into our first story. There we found news via Fleen that Acid Bar, which is a premium kind of out-of-the-box service that cartoonists could use to create a premium area for their fans to go and see premium content for a small fee, things like high-res images, preview comics, extra comics, things like that, is a service that was created by Chris Onstad and friends from Akewood, is now officially closing its doors as of January 1st. As they say... on their site, which is acidbar.com. I'm trying to find, there it is. Thanks, it's been fun mostly. Peace out at the Acid Bar team. Now, Acid Bar was kind of an interesting concept. It got some pull from guys like Chris Straub and Scott Kurtz, who both tried it for their own content, as well as Meredith Grant of Octopus Pie, but didn't grow that much from there. Didn't really expand maybe as much as they were hoping, probably why it's shutting down. But do you guys think that the premium content model, if this is maybe kind of a finger on the pulse of what's what people think of how well the premium content model works, that maybe it's not as effective as people would like?
Well, first off, Akewood being the flagship of Acid Bar, were they regularly updating?
I'll be honest, I never purchased it and
No. I mean, they're just their regular free stuff.
What do you mean?
I don't actually read Akewood on a regular basis. I can't remember.
On occasion?
Was Akewood actually keeping its update schedule? Does it have an update schedule?
It did for a long time. I know he went on kind of a bit of a hiatus. But what? Either way, kind of where are you going with this?
Well, that's one of the problems that I see. Like, and I'm looking at some of the comics that did have this, and I know their free comics didn't regularly maintain their update schedule, let alone... I don't know if they would have kept doing their premium schedule. And that, I think, I represent a comic that has a premium content subscription model. but it never misses its free content either. And I think that's number one, is the first problem on whether or not you can keep customers buying something is, are you continually providing what you promised to provide? Because when it's for free, it's no big deal. But when you add money into that equation, it's a huge deal.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not having a problem with my premium content subscription model. People are getting what they asked for.
So you don't think that this is kind of saying something overall? You just think...
I don't want to say overall the idea of premium content subscription was a failure, because I think that is the one highest profile one that had a couple comics that weren't making their updates is the one that failed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alex?
I had never really heard of Asset Bar until just now. I didn't know it was like a thing, you know, this whole like big project that...
Well, it wasn't that big of a thing.
That might actually have been a failure too. Yeah. Like, how do people constitutively buy a product if they don't know it exists?
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, I could have been interested in joining up and putting content on Asset Bar, possibly if I'd known about it at any point in the last 5 years, 6 years.
I got a question. First
yes,
off,
Bess.
Am I supposed to be on this show?
Do you have anything that you want to add?
Well, about this, I kind of do. I mean, I do know of Asset Bar. I heard of it anyway. I don't subscribe to any premium content except for Slipshine and Filthy Figments, if you want to count that. the whole idea is, was Asset Bar itself getting a cut from this service, or was this just like a plugin for people's websites?
No, they were getting some cut from it. It was kind of like Project Wonderful in that you have an account with them that collects funds.
Because
I know from the press release, you can go and still collect your funds if you have any that's been sitting with them.
Well, because I think there's plugins that you can use with WordPress so that you could get basically 100% of what you're selling. You make WordPress accounts and there's access for them, and then you tie in a PayPal thing. It's a little bit more, you have to work at it, I think, but
yeah.
You can do it without having to sign up on a third party service. But
that's actually the model that we use with commissioned, and we have PayPal, and PayPal gets about a 3% cut.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, let's move on to the next article. Slavery Labor Graphics, a small publishing firm that's probably best known for publishing things like Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, is switching their publishing model from print to all digital. According to the article on Publishers Weekly, they say this dates back to when their comics were no longer being carried by Hot Topic. As of 2008, and they've been kind of digging for the best way to publish since then. And now they're moving all of it to online. And you can find out more about all of their stuff at slgcomic.com, which is their overall publishing site. Have you guys ever read any Slavery Labor Graphics?
Oh, yeah. That's actually one of my favorite companies. My monkey's name is Jennifer. It's brilliantly fun.
I don't know that. What the hell is that?
I'm just plugging a good friend of mine's comic, and it is hilarious. It's a guy that he has... It's My Monkey's Name is Jennifer, and it's not even a monkey, and it's a male chimpanzee. So it's a very angry, just surly chimp. Because of that, he keeps getting dressed up as a girl. He's not happy, and there's international intrigue added to the book as well. Slave Labor is more known as a West Coast publisher of indie comics, and so I really got into Slave Labor because I started on the West Coast myself. I do want to point out they're not doing 100% digital. They're just giving up floppy comics. They'll still come out with graphic novels in print version. But this is a change that it's actually pretty close to what I did a few years ago as a micro publisher. I mean, I would publish 50 copies of a book on floppy, and this is a great change. I really think this is going to give him exposure and sell a hell of a lot more novels, because seriously, they have great stories.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely brilliant, because the real diehard fans can still get their serialized comics in digital versions, and then they can get the trade paperbacks into bookstores.
You know, if you think about it, this is actually moving a lot towards kind of what a lot of webcomics do, because it's releasing digitally, and then when there's enough to put it into a book, they release it into a book, which is very similar to what most webcomics do when it comes to publishing their content. Just with, you know, the smaller editions costing a dollar instead of, for free.
Yeah. Other slave labor books I could recommend really quickly would definitely be Pirate Club. I'm going through their catalog real quick, make sure I don't accidentally throw an Oni Press title in there, because they do very similar stuff to Oni. Halo and Sprocket, beautiful book. I read Emo Boy, Gloom Cookie for the basically the Hot Topic crowd. One more page. Then I swear I'm done.
Is Lenore a slave labor group book?
I think Lenore was Oni. I'm not entirely sure.
All right. Well, yeah. You can check out more on their site, slgcomic.com.
The last one I'll throw out then is Chumble Spuzz.
Chumble Spuzz?
Chumble Spuzz.
I love that name. Right.
It's a great name.
Yeah. All right. Next up is news that, speaking of digitals, Marvel is finally starting to release digital bundles. So instead of getting every comic separately, you can get entire little series, which you can buy exclusively through the Marvel Comics app that's run by Comixology. They've bundled together things like Astonishing X-Men Volume 1, Captain America Winter Soldier Volume 1, Spider-Man Maximum Carnage, Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1, Fantastic Four Volume 1, Ultimates Volume 1, things like that. And they are released for a lower price than if you'd bought them issue by issue.
Did you just have trouble saying Astonishing X-Men?
You know, it's early.
Okay.
And he died this week, so.
He did.
But I'm back with us now.
We're going to cut him some slack.
And I will forgive you all for your sins.
Aww.
But you weren't that good of a carpenter beforehand.
That's mean you're not Jewish anymore.
Well, I haven't shaved or gotten a haircut in a while, so I am looking a bit scruffy. And hey, Jesus was Jewish.
Absolutely. I was just about to bring that up.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
I was making a joke, you guys.
It failed, though.
Alrighty. I wonder if Jesus would have had a webcomic. Anyway, so
I think this is, again, it's the same thing, that it's a good move.
Yeah.
It's the more that we push things online, the bigger the audience the comic industry has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And with that move, we'll move straight into our next story. Explaining decompression in comics. So, this article comes to us via Evan Dahm on Twitter, and links to Ogui Maniacs, which is a comics featured blog, in which they talk about the difference between American comics and manga comics in terms of how much happens in a page, and kind of how to pace your storytelling, and how manga seems to have a whole lot happen in one page, in terms of both the number of panels and just the amount of action, whereas American comics seem to have an establishing shot, another establishing shot, a slight piece of action, a close-up and slight follow-up to that piece of action, and that's about it for a page. And kind of a breakdown of those two in comparison to each other. I gotta say, I've noticed this a lot. It's one of the things I like about manga, is that stuff actually happens from page to page. I'd love your guys' takes on it. Alex, what was your take on this compression idea and decompression?
Well, the visual vocabulary of manga is much more familiar to me since those are the comics that I read in my geek puberty, basically. So, I mean, I feel like the actual gist of the article was that manga sort of like breathes more than American comics do. And like you said, sometimes it's sort of slow and glacial pacing, but other times there's just so much crammed into one single page that it's just so jumbled and messy that it's hard to see mm-hmm. what exactly is going on. But mm-hmm. it seems like the manga style panel layout and like pacing and rhythm and stuff is, well, I like it better.
All right. Dern?
Well, I don't want to necessarily lump things. It's dangerous to say all of manga is like this way and all of American comics is this
right.
way. Cause,
true.
I think, and the article does make a good closing argument about how your average Japanese comic will decompress and compress kind of like an accordion, and they have a very good sense of that and a visual pace to it.
Yeah, it's called
pace. Whereas your typical superhero comic, your DC and your Marvel comic, especially those that were made in the past decade, they seem to really just be stretch it out. It was a case of the industry was trying to figure out how better to fit a trade paperback. They were trying to get things more in bookstores. And there seemed to be a lack of try to fit the story correctly. And I could trace a lot of this back to Alan Moore's Guide to Writing Comics, where he really criticized comics a lot for having too much plot and for being a little bit too fast-paced. And yet, if you compare some of Alan Moore's top stuff, they're way more fast-paced than what people were deriving from his original thesis. And I think that it's a case of the industry just not understanding what the heck Alan Moore was saying.
I don't think most people understand what the heck Alan Moore is saying a lot of
It's very heavily accented, and getting through that beard is difficult.
Yeah, it's got to get through that beard, and it's not easy.
And there's also the five magical runes that he has set up around his mouth. They are just a bugger to get noise through.
Sure.
I want to say that this might be a great topic for the core program to have a more of a discussion about this. Mm-hmm. Talking about pacing and timing, just storytelling. Because I think it can vary. Because ideally, sometimes you should compress, sometimes you should decompress, depending on what's happening. But I still think that there's a lot of great build-up that can happen with proper decompression. And there's times in which there's going to be a little bit more compression for like the intensity of a situation, the more fervor of the moment, versus also, because sometimes there's not enough in some webcomics that I read where they don't take enough time to really show how a character is going to react without just jumping right in and explaining how they feel, versus going for more of a visual cue versus just throwing more information and speech into it.
Do you think that the idea of having an update schedule and kind of fans waiting for the next page and posting page by page like most webcomics do affects the pacing? Because we're always looking for every page to have a little something for everybody.
Yes.
Oh yeah. This is an issue of satisfying chunk. I mean, if you think about your average manga, that's got to be a satisfying chunk once a week. For your average American comic, it has to be quote unquote a satisfying chunk every month, but they're really trying to get a satisfying chunk every 5 weeks.
Satisfying chunk is actually the name of my 80s hair metal band.
Yeah, and then webcomics, it has to be a satisfying chunk every other day. If you look at something like Gunner Creek Court, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So right. He never really does a one-page splash because he has to provide something each time he updates.
Well, except for chapter covers, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, exact right. Same thing with Garanos.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'd love to hear you guys weigh in on this, you in the audience. So be sure to tune into our website over at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com, where you can see links to all the stories that we're talking about. And also weigh in the comments and tell us how wrong we are. We'll move on to the next story. Some bad news. Unfortunately, Michael S. Hart, creator of the modern ebook, has passed away. He was also one of the key forces behind Project Gutenberg, a source trying to create ebooks for the public with over 32,000 available to date. And unfortunately, he passed away at a pretty young age. He was born in 1947 and passed away at the age of 64. There's not much that we can really say except that those of us here at the Webcomic Beacon hope that his ebooks outlive him by a long shot. So with that, we'll move into some ebook related news. And that is the new Kindle. Some buzz has reported that they're going to be announcing the new one at a conference next week. And this new one looks to be a tablet that they're hoping will compete with the iPad and will likely retail for somewhere around $250 and include an Amazon Prime subscription, which not only features the shipping, but also the instant video. So it kind of brings it into the Netflix market as well. And as we all know, Netflix is kind of shooting itself in the foot lately. So any thoughts on the new tablet?
I really think that Amazon's going to come out as the winner of it. I don't know if we're going to have a necessarily ultimate tablet in 5 years, but if I had to pick one company, I would pick Amazon. And that's weird for me because I'm a hardcore Google fanboy.
Why do you say that?
Why am I a Google fanboy, or why do I think Amazon can do it?
Yeah.
Amazon, when you look at how different companies approach things, like Apple wants to have that almost cutting edge coolness. You got Google coming out with their essential do no harm. And then Amazon attacks it like hardcore business style. And they've been they haven't done anything to horribly damage their brand lately. Not horribly damage. Yeah. Horribly being the keyword. They have done small damages from time to time. But their digital library right now of books to download, with how they have created self-publishing for their... They didn't create self-publishing, but they're the mechanism that they put in place to help authors self-publish. Mm-hmm. They have the selection advantage right now.
All right.
I just want to use Square credit card payments at a con without having to get a smartphone. That's all I want, people.
Oh, would this actually be able to do that?
Well, the current Kindle, if you buy the more expensive one, you get lifetime 3G. So if I could use a Square dongle with a Kindle, then that would give me a boner.
Well, it would need a headphone jack and it would need
The software.
Yeah. Small detail there.
And that's the other thing, is that this might fragment the app market even more, as a Kindle tablet would mean a Kindle operating system, whatever that might be, and that Kindle operating system would probably have its own app market.
Amazon already has its own app market. They've been preparing for this.
Mm-hmm. And this tablet is going to run a customized version of Android.
Yeah,
because their app market, I actually have the Amazon app market on my phone right now.
Yeah.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, Ross Scott.
All right, and on that totally insightful note of mine, it is about time that we take a quick break. So we will be right back with you guys in just a moment. Message from somebody else.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
I'm giant, I'm strong, and the mutant of the town. You know that I'm near when a building tumbles down. But smashing and bashing has never been my goal. 'Cause really, deep down, I got the music in my soul. I'm the hope, and I just wanna play the ukulele. Oh, but I soak when the others tell me that I'm crazy. Oh, Spider-Man says that I can't, 'cause my hands will crush it flat. I'm the Hulk, and I just wanna play the ukulele. So I got up the nerve and went to the music store, and they told me they'd bill me for that broken door. I tried playing one and it was going pretty bad, and expensive objects don't like me when I'm mad. What started as Hulk Strong devolved into Hulk Smash. I offered some lab coats because I had no cash. At that point, I felt like my music dream was done, and for once in my life, I felt like the puny one. I'm the Hulk, and I just wanna play the ukulele. Oh, but I soak when the others tell me that I'm crazy. Oh, Wolverine says that I can't, 'cause my hands will crush it flat. I'm the Hulk, and I just wanna play the ukulele. I clear the pools when I swim, I wreck the stage when I dance. Got a lifetime ban from football, and I ripped all my leather pants. But still I marvel at the ukulele, looking for a sign, and I know I have a song in me that's gonna smash your mind. And I'm angry and I scream, and it makes me feel so green. Then one day I woke up, and much to my surprise, there was a giant ukulele right before my eyes, with chrome-plated strings and a can of super glue, along with a banner that said to Hulk love Bruce. Now I play through the day and I play into the night, and I play for the army whenever they stop by. So make sure you're watching when my first concert's shown, 'cause I'm the most smashing ukulele player ever known. I'm the Hulk, and I just wanna play the ukulele. Oh, but I soak when the others tell me that I'm crazy. Oh, don't tell me that I can, or my hands will crush you flat. I'm the Hulk, and I just wanna play the ukulele.
That was Hulkulele by Nuclear Bubble Wrap, found on the Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back to the Webcomic Beacon newscast number 36, the newscast for September 25th. Next up on our show, found via comic book resources, is a cartoon by Susie Cagle. All about, it's called What Every Woman Should Know, and it's all about the abortion and pregnancy services available in San Francisco, and it can be kind of extrapolated out to not just San Francisco. And specifically talking about a place called First Resort, and is kind of has been compared a lot to a documentary style in kind of its fact-based storytelling, but is also kind of personal in its approach, since it was kind of told from the perspective of Susie, and kind of goes through birth control and abortion and things like that. Did you guys have a chance to look at this story?
Yeah, I came across it a few days ago.
I gotta say, it was... Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
It's very, very important information that every woman should know, because your health is important and your lady parts are important. You gotta get that stuff checked out.
Keep it tight, keep it right.
Exactly. And, you know, it's talking about these so-called abortion centers that aren't actually abortion centers, and will kind of, some of them will engage in sort of shady practices in order to delay your decision until it's too late to actually, you know, make that choice for you. So you got to make sure that the places you go are actually going to help you make the decision instead of just
right
making you wait until you can't make the decision anymore.
Now, in addition to the actual article itself, I also thought it was kind of an interesting reader style. The way that it works, it's hosted, by the way, on cartoonmovement.com. If you're looking for it, we have a link in today's newscast post. In addition to just the article itself, it's got a pretty interesting viewer window. Each page is the same size, and there's kind of a viewer on the right that gives you a thumbnail preview pages, and two arrows up and down at the bottom that work really smoothly without needing to load all the pages one by one. So it actually makes for a pretty cool reading experience too, since I'm all into web design and web comics. I think it's interesting. Now, where did you find the article, Alex?
I don't remember where I saw it, but maybe someone on Facebook linked me to it or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because Susie is a graphic journalist, she says, and has drawn for a bunch of sources. I think that's a great, we don't necessarily see a lot of that, the idea of not just, you know, storytellers, but graphic journalism. Mm-hmm. So using the comic as an actual kind of fact-telling journalistic approach. Have you guys seen any other examples of this sort of thing?
I've seen the occasional, like, the infographic that just is like the super infographic, or sometimes you get that. I think a great example of this is also when Randall Monroe decided to like look up different things about radiation and sort of self-teach himself about this, and then he made a comic explaining radiation during the Fukushima meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a loss to think of too many other examples. I know there have been the occasional...
Yeah, every once in a while you see a comic in Esquire or GQ or something, but it's rare that you see anything more than like a panel or two.
I think it's also driven by the fact that news coverage tends to need to have a certain amount of speed to it, and comics is not the fastest way to create something.
Yeah. Right. All right.
But when it does put together, the uniqueness of it adds that extra punch. It's great to see.
Yeah. Well, if you out there see anything this like this, and please let us know. Send us an email over at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Next up is a story from GigaOM, all about five reasons you're probably wasting your time with QR codes. Now, just so we're all on the same page, QR codes are quick response codes, as they're known. Are those 2D barcodes in little squares that you see on ads and such now? And here they give five reasons on why no one cares, basically. Not everybody has a smartphone. The process can be confusing. They lack cross-media functionality. They may be too much trouble for the consumer. And they generally don't provide the best experience, which could be prohibitive to some. Now, I have had this debate with marketing people about QR codes, and as in case you hadn't noticed from ads lately, marketing people think QR codes are the shit. But what do you guys think? Do you think there's much of a market, especially for webcomics, to use QR codes? Maybe on your table?
I use them very sparingly. During the Scurvy Dogs promotion run, we had a QR code set up for getscurvy.com. And I debated using the actual Kickstarter address, because one of the good things about QR codes is they can take a really obnoxious URL and make it the same size as a really simple one.
Right.
I ended up going with the really simple one because I wanted to keep control of the URL. The one way that I saw the QR code basically get used is you're attacking one very specific audience member at a convention. The guy that has a QR coder reader in his phone and wants to show it off. It is so niche. It is so fad-based that this is not going to be the wave of the future, but this is it's a trend right now, and you're getting a very small demographic, but it doesn't necessarily hurt to appeal to that demographic.
Do you think there's a case for kind of having a QR code and then that way being able to say, oh, look how forward thinking I am. I have a QR code, even if no one even uses it.
I think that helps a little bit, because it is sort of this weird techno voodoo that some people don't even realize how easy it is to get a QR code.
Right.
And I've also seen there is another version, and I'm just thinking of it, is Jenny Breeden, who does the comic The Devil's Panties.
Right.
She has on Amazon, to just tie it all together here, she published one of her graphic novels there. She has some fans that would like to buy her book but would like to not kill a tree.
Right.
So she has the QR code to her Amazon storefront there on the table, so that if somebody wanted to buy it, they could just go there and buy it from her that way.
Interesting take.
But then again, hey, here's my business card, it's just a QR code. Horrible idea. Yeah. As far as here's my QR code to go check out my webcomic, you're far better off coming up with some sort of memorable URL, like this. Ross, what's your URL?
Systemcomic.com.
Okay. For example, for me, it's helloacheese.com. Just keep it simple, keep it memorable.
Do you also own olaconqueso.com?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
It's a case of I don't remember, and I might go and buy it in the next 10 minutes, damn you.
Well, I've been to conventions where they have, you know, people are posting flyers up everywhere, and you're going to see QR codes. It's like, you know, if you are interested in something, you're not going to sit there, pull out a pencil and paper to write down something. You're going to whip out your smartphone, especially if you're at a geek convention. You're likely going to have a smartphone and a QR reader, and boom. You can go check it out if you want to.
How many times have you guys actually seen someone do that, though? Like, I've seen QR codes up and about, but I've never once, and I've been to, like, some tech conferences, like South by Southwest, where it's like, you would think everyone, oh my gosh, but no, like, no one cares about QR. Well, I've yet to see one person actually say, oh, I want to check out what this QR code's going to do, and click it.
Well, I do have the advantage of sitting still and having a QR code right in front of me. It does happen, but it is a very small percentage. I mean, we're talking like maybe 3 people a show, if that show has like 30,000 people there.
I think it'd be fun to have a QR code scavenger hunt. or like you find, you know, or like, you know, where ever been to,
yeah,
like to camp where you like
participate,
you follow like a compass and you try to find the one location, and then that location will tell you where to go from there.
It's like QR code meets geocaching,
something,
and
like
geocaching
that
is another great way. Like, it's not something that I would recommend to go promote your webcomic with, but it's fun, and there's a very small percentage of people that like doing that.
It could be fun, but don't break your back over it.
Exactly.
Right. Do any smartphones right now come standard with a QR code reader? Like, yes, you can download them, but that means that you know what they are enough to go and download one.
They do in Japan.
There's absolutely no way that I could 100% answer that question, yes or no.
Right. Like, I've yet to meet, like, your average person who knows what a QR code is, you know? Like if you asked my mom what a QR code is, she would not know.
I could add something else to this. Like, if you are going to put a QR code, make it point to something special. Like, make it that scavenger hunt feel. Make it have its own landing page that has some sort of secret on it.
Make it worth
you can't get to.
Yeah, I was thinking about, well, Chris thought of the idea that I could have a QR code that I have it on a little, you know, thing at conventions where people could, you know, scan it and they'd get a link to some free wallpaper downloads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for promotion, cool. You know?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we'll move on. But you should go over to our website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com, where we have a large QR code in the center of the page. That's not true. But you should tell us how much you hate QR codes or love them. Please pick a fight with me on this because I hate QR codes and I think they're dumb. All right. And with that, we have another article on GigaOM. Is the app economy killing online publishers? Is the app market and store kind of set up as opposed to having things just kind of on the internet killing online publishers since it fragments the audience? It is another whole thing to set up. And you're held hostage on all these other platforms other than the web, which is just kind of yours. So is all of that hurting the online publishing market for the independent creator?
No.
Okay.
Can I just say that? I think it's ridiculous to say, oh, hey, here is a fast-growing digital platform that isn't saying you have to take something else away from your development plan. It's just another channel. It's another stream. It's another venue. And ultimately,
yeah, but it's another channel that takes a whole lot of new extra work.
Right. But at the same time, once that work is done, the cost becomes, it's a no cost merchandise piece. It's not like you ever run out of apps to be downloaded. You might run out of bandwidth. Yes. But that's a relatively low amount of cost compared to I have to print a whole nother round of books.
Right. All right.
Suck it up, developers.
There you go. Well, we have a few more articles to get through and not much time to get through it. So with that, we'll move on as Dern tells all developers to nut up and shut up. thanks, Dern. I just want a shirt of Dern saying "suck it up" and staring at me. I think that'd be hilarious.
It needs to be an inspirational poster that you could tape right on top of your monitor.
Yeah, I'll put that next to the one of Jamie Noguchi saying "fucking do it" next to each other. "Suck it up" and "fucking do it." We're very touchy feely here at the all right, some unfortunate news. The Dragon Con founder, whose name is Michael George.
No. Edward Kramer.
Ed Kramer.
Different guy.
Michael George is a friend of ours, Ross.
No. This is Edward. Different trial. Sorry. Dragon Con co-founder Edward Kramer. Do you guys not see that says Michael George trial begins?
That does. There actually is a completely different Michael George.
Yeah, it's another story.
Yeah, okay, great, not crazy. But DragonCon co-founder Edward Kramer, who, disclaimer, no longer involved in DragonCon in any way, shape, or form, co-founder has been arrested in a child endangerment case after being found in a motel room with a 14-year-old boy. And there were no conventions nearby. And this is also after 11 years ago where he was charged with child molestation and aggravated child molestation, which he never went to court for due to medical issues. Yeah, so that happened.
Well, yeah, I would say that he hasn't been associated with the show since 2000. Hasn't even gone to it in that time.
Yeah, ever since his first charge, he dropped out of Dragon Con, or they kicked him out. It's kind of unclear, but he hasn't been involved with it since.
Yeah, and every now and then you get a case of there's people who put on conventions that something weird happens in their personal life, and sometimes it's something illegal.
Are we talking about just,
for example, Michael George?
No, I'm actually just realizing Michael George is the founder of Pittsburgh Comic Con.
Yes.
I was trying to remember, why do I know that name, and that's why.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, he's involved in a murder trial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He murdered his wife in 1990, and he was convicted in 2007.
Oh.
So, yeah. That's still going on.
Yeah.
But the con survives and forges forward.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things is sometimes you have to divide the good things that a person has made and separate it from them and separate them from the good thing. Dragon Con is a great show. Pittsburgh Comic Con.
And I, for one, fear and respect my Dragon Con overlords and would like a table next year. So that will move on. Another article via Comic Book Resources. Gabrielle Bell, who posted a daily journal comic that was even nominated for an Ignatz Award. It was daily and kind of a personal sketch sort of thing, every day in July for the entire month. And all of it, except for the last panel, has now suddenly disappeared as she has taken them all down. According to a recent interview, mostly because she feels completely embarrassed by how personal and quick and not polished they are. It's really a shame to see that. I mean, that's the one problem with the web, is that sometimes things can disappear like this or be edited kind of after the fact, and there's no way to bring them back. Did you guys get a chance to read any of it when it was still up? I think I caught it in an Ignatz Awards read and had read it there. It was really good. It's a shame to see it come down. And honestly, I didn't see anything that embarrassing or weird about it that would, you know, consist of needing to take it down.
I can certainly understand her feelings, though, also being an autobiographical webcomic person. I distance myself pretty well from what I actually do put on my comic, but sometimes I do have ideas about something, but then I decide it's too personal, and so I don't want to do it.
I mean, people should draw the comics they want to draw and put out there what they want to put out there, but I think the personal nature of it was what made it so good, and to see it take it down for that very reason, it's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got two more quick things. First is, no, let's skip the YouTube thing because it's not really that on topic anyway. And go to this article that was found via PvP, where Scott Kurtz was complaining about it, as he's wont to do, about cartooning versus technology, how Steve Jobs ruined comics. The basic point of the article being that the old iconic versions of things were made for better visual storytelling when you had a real physical phone and a big newspaper and things like that. And now having people just have little earbuds in their ears and black square tablets and little tiny things for phones that can't really be seen as easily when drawn, don't necessarily stand out as much and are less interesting for storytelling purposes. What do you guys think? I know in the comments section on this post, he got picked on a lot for taking such a stance. But what do you guys think in terms of storytelling?
I say, suck it up, cartoonists. Learn new ways.
Yeah, you just have to be more creative.
Well, I mean, if technology is going to push forward and create new shiny things, then as art, we need to reflect that, and we need to figure out new shiny ways to show that off.
I don't know. I think you could just set every comic in 1990, and then you'd be fine.
I've got... Or well, that. There's that, but there's... I got to bring this back to Harold and Kumar.
Mm-hmm.
Go to White Castle.
Yes.
It's like, okay, right now, what is a smartphone but the poor man's sonic screwdriver? I mean, there you can look at a lot of comics, like older comics, is like, well, if you had a smartphone, you could just boop, over with. Harold and Kumar leave to go to White Castle. They walk, like, you know, halfway down the hall, and it's like, wait, we want to get your phone? It's like, and they look back, no, we've gone too far. Boom. They don't have the sonic screwdriver for the entire adventure, you know, and there's a reason why. You know, you just got to think of things not everybody has to have a smartphone either, you know? So you just got to think of a different way to have them not be able to have access to something that could solve it right away.
Well, there's actually a great movie from 2005 called The Ice Harvest that was with John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton. And it's about this heist in one night that happens during an ice storm. It was set in 1980, and the guy had no cash on him. He had no quarters, so he couldn't use a payphone. Just call everybody, sort everything out. But they wanted to, instead of making it a period piece, they decided to keep it contemporary. And one of the first scenes that they had to add was Jonathan Cusack slipping, his phone falling out and shattering, to explain why wouldn't this all be done for the sake of a story.
Or the power could have just died. That actually happens all the time with smartphones.
Well, yeah, now with smartphones, yeah. 2005, we weren't all on smartphones.
Right.
We had phones that actually lasted for a few days.
Oh, those were the days.
Oh, the days.
Yes.
Batteries.
All right, well.
Those were the days.
You know what? Screw that. We have phones with comics on them nowadays.
That's true. Well, with that,
2005.
We come to an end of yet another episode of the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. We hope you have all enjoyed listening to our incessant ramblings. And we hope you'll tune in again next week, where we'll have more incessant ramblings. Here at the Webcomic Beacon, I would like to take a moment to thank Alex and Dern for being on the show today, and Fess for putting everything together. You should go check out their stuff, alexsguide.net, hellowithcheese.com, and psiwebcomic.com. You can find my stuff at The System, which is systemcomic.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922, or get in touch with us via our email address, webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. For all that and more, just tune in over to our website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. And if I said all of that too fast, hey, it's a podcast. Go back and listen to it again with a pen this time. All right. Thank you all for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We are looking forward to hearing your feedback, so please get in touch with us. We're lonely. We'll see you all again next week. We record live Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, and we always tweet about it, so you can follow us there. And we will see you next time. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Peanut butter and jelly, everybody. See you around. What is Dr. Webcomics?
It was a show where we had two medical doctors that do webcomics on the show.
Oh, cool.
Was Dr. Cat mentioned?
Dr. Cat was mentioned.
I love Dr. Cat.